This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, due to a well-established hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari from Jabir radiallahu an, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that he was once approached by two angels and described almost from a distance, but he could hear it by these two angels, that the example of this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is like the example of someone who built a house and prepared a feast and sent inviters to it. Allah is the owner of the house and the feast is paradise, and he is that inviter sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And so whomever obeys him has obeyed Allah, whoever responds to the inviter, and whoever disobeys him has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this hadith, the great scholar Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he actually creates a wonderful scene to talk about the different classes of humanity in terms of how they respond to the invitation of Allah that was extended to them by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. It's a wonderful allegory, wonderful reflection. He said it's like the example of people living their life in a village somewhere on a farm, and all of a sudden at the shore there arrives a ship, and the captain of the ship comes to them and says, listen, I have been sent by a king from a very far away place, from a very distant land, who is inviting you all to come to his palace and to enjoy a banquet, to enjoy a feast with him and to see the palace. And so the people are very excited, and they get on the boat. They could tell this is not a scam. And then as they're heading on this journey, he stops midway at some island and says, this is not the location, but we have to stop here for this day until sunset to pick up some treasures that exist on this island that the king loves very much. Okay? And so we're going to collect these treasures and get right back on the boat and continue our journey, because the king loves them and we can't enter upon him, accept his invitation and show up empty-handed. He says, but listen, number one, beware. On this island, there is a property with a fence around it. Don't come near it, because if the king hears that you entered that property, he will be very angry. Don't come near that one. Number two, listen to my instructions carefully as to what to collect, because not everything that glitters is gold. You're on a time limit and this is high stakes, so listen to my instructions very carefully. And then he lets them all go. Different classes of people. He says one group of them, the defiant people of mischief, they went straight to the place they're not supposed to go. And they got curious, and it got the best of them, and so they became rebellious, and they got to the fence, and when they looked inside the fence, and they trespassed behind the fence, and they enter this private property, and they ultimately enter that without permission. That was one group. He said the other groups, group two, is a group that ignored the instructions altogether, and they went about grabbing whatever they thought was a treasure. They grabbed a rock, worthless rock. They grabbed some glass, thinking it's a diamond, right? They were not aware of what is and what isn't. And so they wasted their time, wasted their effort, doing nothing. He said the third group were a people that just strolled around the island. As soon as they started, okay, we got to go collect. We know we need to collect. Wait a minute. This place is beautiful. And so they started strolling casually, taking in the sights, looking at the views. And they spent the entirety of their day doing this. What they collected was like insignificant tidbits. They just collected a little bit here, a little bit there. Nothing worth mentioning, even though they collected. He said the fourth class of people, they're five. The fourth class of people are a people that as soon as they started working, said, wait a minute, we gotta be smart about this. It's getting hot very fast. So let's build some shade. Let's gather some branches, let's build some shade before it hits high noon, or else it's going to get too hot to bear. And also, you never know. I mean, we're on an island. You got to always prepare for a rainy day. It could literally get rainy. It could get stormy here. So let's just cover our bases, make ourselves comfortable, and then we'll resume collecting. And of course, that took up their day, and they never actually got around to collecting. The fifth group, the blessed bunch, the fifth group said, wait a minute. The king sends us a ship in the middle of nowhere where we live, and he invites us to a royal banquet. The stakes are too high. We cannot allow ourselves the luxury of getting distracted. This is our chance. This is our moment. 15 minutes of fame. We have to win the king's favor no matter what. We have to collect what he loves at any cost, no matter what the sacrifice is. So they all went in their directions, these five classes of people, and then sunset quickly befalls them, right? And all of a sudden, they're all rushed back onto their ship. Without warning. Now, everybody on. No room to look back. So everyone got back on the ship. And everyone has a bag. Some people's bags are filled with treasures. Some people's bags are filled with scraps. Some people's bags have a little bit of treasure in it. Some people's bags are empty entirely. And a fifth group didn't even come back to the ship. And of course, this allegory or this extended metaphor is so perfect because Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about all these different types of people and this entire dynamic that explains our existence throughout His Quran. You know, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah is inviting you. That's an honor on its own. Allah is inviting you ila daris salam, to the home of eternal security. Every form of security is there. The home of eternal security. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And He guides whomever He wishes. Not random, not favoritism. He knows who deserves guidance. And He guides those people whom He wishes, because of what He knows about them, to the straight path, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Dar es Salaam, you know, like we're going to talk about treasures. What Allah promises of treasures to give to us in paradise renders what we think are treasures, which are of course our good deeds, that we are bringing to Allah Azza wa Jal for paradise. It doesn't equate. That is why it is by His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people enter paradise. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Mawdi'u ahadikum," just the place where one of you steps, the place under your feet in paradise, is worth more than the entire world and all it contains. That's very expensive real estate, right? In paradise. It doesn't equate. Nothing on this world could ever account for it. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has said, I have personally prepared, أَعْدَدْتُ, I have personally prepared, لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ, for my servants who work righteous acts in their life, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, what no eye has ever seen, or even heard about, or even imagined. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, no eye has ever seen, or dawned on, or even heard about, or dawned on the imagination of any human being. And so, He sent us the best invitation card to this banquet. We always get these invitation cards. They used to be nicer. We used to get them physical. Now they got reduced to sort of being digital. He sent you a Quran. That's your invitation card. And then He sent you the best inviter possible in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam with that invitation card. And he, even his enemies, testified that this man could never be corrupt. Even his enemies would admit to this. And not just was he trustworthy in the invitation card he's giving you, the Quran, he modeled it himself. Like he's the captain of the ship who actually got on the island and told you guys to pick up the right treasures. He was doing the same thing. He was working harder than anybody, picking up those treasures. So Allah gave you the perfect inviter to give you all the confidence in the world that I should be following Him. I should be listening to Him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then there is the sunset. The sunset is not exactly a whistle gets blown and everybody gets rushed onto a ship, because each and every one of us has a different sunset. And no one's allowed to know when their sunset is. It is confidential. We each have our moment. For the believer, that moment will be the greatest gift, that they actually can stop working now. They actually have perpetual, perfect relief, delight and bliss. And for others, it will be their moment of greatest regrets. And so this example of being invited to the banquet, the Prophet ﷺ said, or the more elaborate illustration of it that Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah left for us in his literature, it is saying, don't get caught being one of the first four categories. The first category, the people that didn't respect the fence and went into the wrong property. Because you know, there are major violations, and Allah from His mercy made what could lead to them also a violation, right? Like don't fornicate or don't drink alcohol. Don't sit at a table where it's being circulated. Don't just stare at everything, lower your gaze, right? And so this was the first group of people. Don't be those people who defied Allah in this way and didn't respect those boundaries, that sanctuary that He does not allow anyone to enter. And don't be the second category that picked up whatever they thought was a treasure. That is, those are the people that worshipped Allah as they wanted, not as He wanted. And the problem with that is that Allah gets no benefit whatsoever from our worship. And so if we want to benefit from our worship, our devotion with Allah, then we have to do it on His terms, not on our terms. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love Allah, meaning more than you love yourself, then follow me, follow the model, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Allah will love you. Because you loved Him and you preferred Him over your own self. The third group of people, the people that took in the sights and collected almost nothing at all, these are the people whose life centers around useless topics, vain discussions, cheap thrills, cycles of entertainment. And Allah Azza wa Jal said about certain people, فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُوعَدُونَ. Let them speak about useless things, and let them continue to think life is a game, to continue to play the game and scroll watching others play the game, right? Until they encounter the day they were promised. That's the third group. And the fourth group of people were the doubters. They say, listen, akhirah's akhirah. The hereafter, when we get to it, we'll figure it out. Let's be a smart investor. A bird in hand is better than 10 in the bush. Let's invest here and now. And about them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Those who are not looking forward to meeting us. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And they settled for the life of this world. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. And they put their guard down towards it. And those who are عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. Those who are heedless of our signs. أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. Those are the ones whose abode is the fire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. And so the story is to say, don't get caught in these four. And make sure you're from category five. By recommitting, now in this khutbah, right? Recommit to being the people that refuse to get heedless. Refuse to drop their sense of urgency. People that honor the invite that was extended to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who listen to His instructions carefully, Azza wa Jal. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us and you among the blessed few that are of that last category. You see, when Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ, that death brought reality to people, ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ, that is what you were avoiding, you didn't want to pay attention to, that means for most people, reality will only arrive with death. It brings reality, for most. And that's why a few verses later it says, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا, you used to be heedless about this. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ, and now we forced the covers to be lifted. We forced the curtain to be pulled up. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ, and now your vision is sharp. Most people, only as they're dying, their vision sharpens. Only as they're dying does reality hit. beforehand it would have been useful to prepare for it. And so we ask Allah to make us of the best of those prepared for it. You know, I concluded the khutbah last week speaking about the mixed feelings, understandably, that everyone is having regarding Ramadan coming and the ummah's pains. And I reminded myself and you that the ummah's pains give us a doubled reason now to increase our capacity, our ability to care and to contribute, especially in a world that is increasingly uncaring. Massacres going on, starvation happening in Gaza and elsewhere, right? And we're just caring about the Super Bowls. We are just wondering how the market is doing. In an increasingly uncaring world, Ramadan is your chance to not become that person for our own personal development, but our collective health as an ummah as well. So how do you do that? How do you take advantage of Ramadan as a chance of revival, as a focus reset? That focus needs to start getting generated in Sha'ban is how. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said there is a month that most people overlook between Rajab and Ramadan. That is the month of Sha'ban. It's like, oh, okay, Ramadan's not here yet. I'm resting for Ramadan, right? For the marathon to start. But if a person does not prepare in Sha'ban, you probably will not get much out of Ramadan. You'll get tidbits, glimpses, flashes of light, flashes of virtue towards the end of Ramadan maybe. But the one who actually prepares will get more than tidbits for himself, for herself. And they will be able to offer more than tidbits to their ummah. And the same way, those who prepare for Ramadan are able to benefit from it, they make the best out of it. Those who prepare, if you're not going to prepare for Ramadan, you probably will also not prepare for meeting the king who invited you to the banquet, meeting Ar-Rahman. Ramadan is it. It is the big it. It requires preparation though. Likewise, meeting Allah is the reality, and it will also require preparation. And that is why the early Muslims, they used to say, and with it I close, O Allah, make the best of my days what remain, and the best of my deeds, my final deeds. وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِ يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ. And the very best, ultimate best of my days, the day that I meet you. This is a project. May Allah help us excel in this project and take advantage of the booster, the bonus, the recalibration that is allotted to us every year in Ramadan, and allow us to prepare from it so we can optimize ourselves in it. Allahumma ameen.